Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, Philip Morris and only Philip Morris is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. No other cigarette can make that statement. With Bud Tellman, Jack Albus, and Mary Schiff, Johnny Gibson, Al Kelly, Charlie Irving, Jack and Bottom. See, by Nick Barney, the musical life lock of this officer, and yours truly, Frank Gallup. Ladies and gentlemen.
You can't top that laugh. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, following tonight's program, our star begins his vacation. Until he returns to the air next fall, Milton Berle may be seen at the Astor Roof.
That's right.
Laying tar paper. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Laying tar paper. Thanks for the pitch. Just think, Mr. Gallup, this is our 58th consecutive program. Imagine if all the laughs that I got in those 58 weeks were concentrated into one big laugh, it still wouldn't be as big as the one they gave Dewey in Wisconsin. Now you know why I'm going off. I still don't know. I'm happy, though, that I'm going on a vacation. And, Mr. Gallup, I still don't know where I'm going to spend my vacation. It depends on what Congress does. I'll either go to Coney Island on the BMT or out to Fort Dix on the UMT. UMT, that means Universal Military Training. You may not laugh at this program, folks, but you're going to learn something. I did.
Well?
Well?
Yes, Mr. Gallup, sir.
You don't seem too chipper about our going off for a vacation.
Who don't? I'm kidding. I'm clowning around. Why, of course. I think it's wonderful. I'm happy after all, Mr. Gallup. No more rehearsals, no more script, no more pressure. There's only one thing. No more income. Who's worry? I can always go into business. I'm gonna put out a television set with a brass rail, so you won't have to go to a saloon to see a fight. Yep. Just think of it, Mr. Gallup. I have been in the same studio for 58 weeks. I wonder what NBC is going to put in here when I leave.
A bottle of Airwick.
Oh, that's jazzy. Oh, you're so peppy tonight, Mr. Gallup. You're going to give the people the wrong impression. They're going to think you're alive. I like those collars with the shirts attached that you wear. Poor, thin Mr. Gallup. You had a tough time, a very tough time on Army Day. People kept trying to run a flag up them. Get that, Gallup. I have seen fatter-looking things hanging out of golf bags. Yep. I want to tell you, Gallup wasn't born. They just tore off a Tootsie Roll wrapper, and there he was.
Are you quite through, Fatso?
Fatso? Me? Burl? Fat?
Most comedians have swelled heads. With you, it's just the opposite.
Oh, that's good. That was pretty good.
For this program, yes.
Now, please. Now, Mr. Gallup, it's our last show, and here we are fighting amongst ourselves like two Democrats. Tonight, let's... Your name and address again, please. Same woman every week. Tonight, Mr. Gallup, just let's relax, huh? Let's be friends. Here, take my hand.
You know my address. Send it to me.
Oh, come on, loosen up, Mr. Gallup. We've had a lot of fun on this program. Jokes, quips. Gee, remember last week when Dick Farney sang my song?
I'd give a million tomorrows for just one yesterday.
Pardon me, Burl.
Yes?
Do you mind if I join in?
What?
Do you mind if I join in?
You want... Not at all, miss. That's good. The spirit. A little music, please.
I'd give a million tomorrow.
Yes, honey child, I'd give a million tomorrow. Yes, darling, yesterday.
I'd give you
everything I've got,
you.
Baby, to hold you. I want to hold your hand, that little pinky of yours. Oh, that's my baby, my honey child. I know I'm to blame. I cannot tell a lie, just like George Washington. I know when it came time to say goodbye. That's G-O-O-D-B-Y-E, goodbye.
So I'd give a million tomorrows.
Take it, Mr. Gallup.
For just one yesterday.
Oh, what a voice. May I say, if the ink spots are listening, you can hire Gallup as a blotter. Boy, we're really letting down our hair tonight. Trouble is, we're letting our brains out with it, too. Yep. But since we're relaxing tonight, I would like to present a man who can really teach us how to relax. He is an eminent psychologist who's famous for his treatments of nervous tension, and I think he's going to work on me, Dr. Sigmund Finster. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Finster.
Thank you, thank you.
Dr. Finster, what method do you use to relieve your nervousness and help you relax?
It's very simple.
Is it?
Just before I go to bed, I waft myself into the pelt of the cloud that's with me with a cold within the statement. I don't even know whether I stutter or whether it's Disney, but I dream glasses of warm flash, which gives me such a craze. Then I drowse into the slaves of rum there, where everything that I jump is thrown. I jump into a steaming dub of powerful, which is laid without Troy, and you have a craze. I haven't slept in 3 weeks.
Doctor, what treatment do you give to people on the verge of nervous collapse?
What a coincidence.
Yes?
You know, just this week, a man came into my office and said, Dr. Finster, I keep seeing little blums of knibs in front of my clients by the forehead. He keeps seeing little knibs of boys before the guys by the forehead. Who doesn't? I told him, relax your beta. Love your Navy fight and leave everything to a tall man. And would you believe it? To this day, that man can't get a telephone.
Dr. Finster, what method have you found most successful in soothing jangled nerves?
Poetry.
What is that?
Poetry.
Poetry?
Yes, I always...
Poetry?
Poetry, yes. I always soothe my patients with a poem. Ha! Hark, the Schmalman.
That's the poem?
That's the poem.
A poet?
Poetry, yeah.
May we hear it?
Gladly. Hark, hark, the Schmalman talk, all through the Swedish knives. As raved the storm, lived and fight, suddenly the gold is summoned. I look on a wave of feet and realize there must be time. There isn't the face of my cause until you tell me what cause has been for your cause.
All
I'll have to
right.
face.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen. All right. That's the last you'll hear of that. And now. Ah, yes, Mr. Gallup. Relaxation is the road to good health. If I asked you which you would choose, the health, the fame, or the wealth of the world, I know what you'd say. The health. The health, you'd say. So do I, because I remember those wonderful days when you watched so carefully over the health of that one and only girl as you sang. Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of yourself. You belong to me. The last you'll hear of that, too. Ah, Cynthia. Precious memory of Cynthia. Remember, Cynthia, how I had to keep telling you to button up your overcoat? You had to. You had nothing on underneath. Cynthia, my healthy little farm girl. 6'7", 280 pounds. You were the only thing on the farm that the bull was afraid of. I remember that day that we met. We walked down the old ox road. You were the biggest ox on the road. Sophisticated Cynthia. No one could wear a diamond the way you could. Set right in the hole in your head. Cynthia, my little flower. You had the face of a dandelion. On a lion, it would look dandy. And your teeth. Your teeth were just like pearls. And why not? You got them from the same store Pearl did. You got them from the same store Pearl did. Ay, Ben. But it was the little things I remember about you, Cynthia. Your embarrassed little laugh at the Kentucky Derby when your saddle slipped off your back. Until you run at Belmont again. Hey,
good.
Thank you. And now, as Phil Spitalny and his Hour of Harm are now waiting, may we have Mr. Robert?
To you who have been smoking for years and to you who are just beginning to smoke, the words you're about to hear are more important, more authoritative than any you have ever heard about cigarettes. For these words were written by one of America's top-ranking doctors, an eminent nose and throat specialist who knows the scientific facts about smoking. Listen to what the doctor had to say.
There is no doubt in my mind that Philip Morris cigarettes are much less irritating than other cigarettes.
And now listen to the doctor's conclusion.
We would be neglecting our patients who smoke if we did not suggest that they smoke Philip Morris.
Remember, if your cigarette leaves your throat dry and parched, if it makes you cough or leaves a stale, musty taste in your mouth, these definitely are reasons for a change to Philip Morris. So join the thousands who every day are joining the millions who have already discovered that a change to Philip Morris is a change to a better cigarette, a finer cigarette, a cigarette of proved superiority. Remember, of all leading cigarettes, the superiority of Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists. No other cigarette can make that statement.
You know, folks, for 57 weeks, we've never let Ray Block finish his number. Ray, old boy, tonight it's going to be different. I know that Signature Records have designated the week of April 15th as Ray Block Week, and we're all going to be at that concert this Thursday at Carnegie Hall, and we're all going to come over. So, Ray, to show my appreciation, I want you to play the whole number. Go ahead. Will you do that, please? Thank you. That arrangement was by Flash Gordon. And now, as we continue our discussion of health and relaxation, we present
Health Forum Tonight. Health Forum Tonight. The question, can penicillin save the Democratic Party?
Thank you, Harold Stassen. Now let's start with questions from our audience. All right, this young man in the first row with the spots on his face that spell out chicken pox. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Lady Esther.
Lady Esther?
I'm not the real Lady Esther.
You're not, no?
No, the real one wears low heels.
I see.
My parents gave me the name Lady Esther because they wanted a girl.
I understand.
And before I changed my name to Lady Esther, I had a boy's name.
A boy's name? What was it?
Lady Mendel.
All right, Menashe, you have a question. You have a question that has to do with health?
You must be kidding with a question like that. Say you're kidding, huh?
But I'm not kidding. I'll murder you tonight, I'm
thinking. Lord, break me up and this spot will be out long enough to be renewed.
You can't do better than that. Thank you. Applause. See you at Grossinger's. All right. This is a show? Oh. All right, the next person. This lady in the aisle cleaning the buckshot out of a duck. Young lady, what is your name?
Perilla Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you know her? And you have a question that has to do with health?
Yeah, how can I stop my husband from taking up outdoor hobbies? He's on the street so much they keep mistaking him for garbage in the Bronx.
Your husband has many outdoor hobbies?
He started raising chickens. Yesterday, he accidentally sat down on a nest full of eggs.
He broke them?
He hatched them.
No kidding.
Ever since then, the rooster's been getting in the eye.
All right. Yep. Okay. I understand.
He's crazy about fishing.
Your husband is crazy about fishing?
Yeah. Once he went out and caught some with his bare hands. You know, them little shiny fish.
Smelled?
Pretty bad.
He likes fishing?
Yeah. Once a guy hooked him and pulled him in.
And what happened?
The next day he was laid out on a scale at the Fulton Fish Market.
You went down to get him?
Yeah, it cost me 59 cents a pound. They sure cleaned him nice.
Oh, that's good. And, what other exercise does your husband do?
Every morning he runs around. Every night.
Thank you, Tallulah Feeney. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, and now to conclude our health forum, we bring you a man whose matchless physique and vibrant health has made him a shining example of American manhood. He is that muscle builder, that Hercules of brute strength, Bernard McFeatherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. McFeatherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. I eagerly grasp this glorious opportunity to say hi to the thousands of muscle lovers who have seen my picture in magazines and have written in asking, what is it?
Tell us,
Excuse me, Mr. Barrow.
Yes.
Do you mind if I hang on to something? I'm dragging.
You're tired?
This morning I picked a moth off my foot. I think I strained myself.
But a moth isn't heavy.
This one had just eaten.
Mr. McFeatherfield, as a muscle builder, what is your favorite exercise?
Rowing.
Rowing?
Yes. Every morning I'm out on the East River in a rowboat. Mm. I go twisting, turning, and dodging.
Dodging the big boats?
No, the seagulls.
Mr. Featherfield, I understand that you've pitted your strength against the best.
How about that?
Yeah?
They once put me in the ring against Joe Louis.
Did they?
I had to call on my manhood.
Yeah. What happened?
No answer.
Is your wife a physical culture fan?
Oh, yes. I met my wife at a basketball game. Mm-hmm. She came dribbling down the floor. Yes.
Where were you?
Who do you think she was dribbling? She's a big one.
Is she? Well, if your wife's fat, why doesn't your wife go on a diet?
She did. Now she's like a greyhound.
The dog?
The bus. That's a good enough joke for you to steal.
Come, Mr. Gary. Control yourself, Mr. Featherfield.
I can't help it. I feel so jazzy tonight.
Your home life doesn't seem to be too happy.
No. Yesterday I had a cold and my wife broke it up.
Yeah, what did she use?
A sledgehammer.
Thank you, Mr. McFeatherfield. Thank you very much. Our young singing star, Dick Farney, to sing
La Rue, La Rue, Lily Bolero. La Rue, La Rue, Lily Bolero. That's a magic saying that I heard one day in Napoli. Fortune teller in a dim lit cellar said to me, you say, Baru, Lily Bolero, and just like that, quick as an arrow, you'll find the girl who's meant for you. And sure enough, it all came true. La Rue, and sure enough, broken too.
His singing is really relaxing. I know, I'm going to take it easy from now on. I'm going to relax after what happened to me last year. It was about a year ago, and I was on the edge of a terrible breakdown. I was not only burning the candle at both ends, but was starting to melt in the middle. Radio, vaudeville dates, and benefits. My wife finally made me see a doctor, and we were at the doctor's office.
This way, Mr. Burrow.
Doctor, you must help him.
Darling, this is ridiculous. I'm in perfectly good shape. I'm in shape.
Mrs. Burrow, when did you first notice anything strange in your husband's behavior?
About a week ago. He began eating with a knife and fork like everybody else.
Nonsense. This is all... This is all...
Easy, Mr. Burrow.
Easy.
First, I'll examine you. Stick out your tongue, please.
Ah.
Hit the floor, didn't it?
Now, look, Doctor.
Mr. Burrow, you need a good rest. Away from people, away from work.
Milton, we're going up to the mountains and rent a cabin. You're going to rest.
Rest? Who needs rest? I'm perfect, dear. Feel better already. See that mountain there. Now for a good night's sleep.
I'm turning out the lights, Milton. Good night.
Good night. So quiet here in the country. Restful. What's that? Help! It's a wolf! It's a wolf! Lock the door! Help! Help!
Milton, that's just a little cricket.
A cricket? Yelling like that?
Yes. That's the noise they make by rubbing their hind legs together.
Oh, is it? Boy, my nerves are really bad. Good night, dear.
Good night.
Sleep. Just a little cricket. It's some noise they get by rubbing their legs together. That one must be wearing corduroy pants. I guess you have to get used to the noises in the country at night. Kind of restful at that. Rest. Doctor said I needed a rest. What'd you say, dear? Oh, it's outside. Yes!
Oh, Ben, come down from that chandelier.
You come up here. It's a wounded gorilla. It's a wounded gorilla.
A wounded gorilla.
Yeah, I can even tell where he's been wounded. Really?
Milton, that's just a little mountain bird. They screech like that. Now go to bed.
It's a little bird? See, my nerves. Imagine me thinking it was a wounded gorilla. I'm in bad shape. Sleep. Sleep. What's that? Somebody pounding at the door.
Come in.
Oh, I'm sorry to bother you, lady. I'm the sheriff.
What is it?
A gorilla escaped from the circus, and he's wounded.
A wounded gorilla?
What is it? What is it, dear?
There he is, men. Grab him.
Let me go. Let me go. Let go.
No. Come quietly, King. Nice baby.
Stop. Get that banana out of my mouth. Let me go.
That's my husband.
Yeah, sure fooled me. Let's go, boys.
Oh, you're like that, mistaken me for a gorilla.
Milton, I keep telling you to wear the tops to those pajamas.
Stop that. Hasn't every man got hair on his chest?
Down to his knees?
Down to his knee. Now, please, I'm tired out. I'm worn out. I'm ready to drop. The program was... Where's the bed?
Here, Milton, let me help you. There. Quiet now. Sleep.
Sleep. Mississippi Bayou to Melty. Little Melty, sleepy fry. Go sleepy. Little boogie, boogie. An automobile. Oh, no, not Sam and Martha Harrison. They followed us up here.
Hiya, Milton!
Sam.
Martha and I are driving to Albany. And I said, let's drop in on the Burls. Just the two of them are alone together. They must be nuts by now. Isn't that just what I said, Martha?
Yes.
Hello, Martha. I didn't recognize you with that bear trap on your leg. Sam, I'm in bad need of a rest.
Oh, Martha and I want to be off pronto.
Good.
Except we're out of gas.
Well, you go straight out of gas? Out of gas?
Yes.
Sam, the doctor said that I...
No, wait, Milty. Say, Martha.
Yes?
Will you drive Milty's car down for some gas?
Yes.
How do you like that? Eisenhower could use one of those guesses. Sam, you mind if I lay down? I'm beat.
But, Milty, I've got to tell you about our trip.
Sam, there's no time. Martha will be right back with my car.
It'll take her hours. She can't see a thing without her glasses.
She can't see a thing.
See what I mean?
Sam, that was my car.
Oh, hello, Martha. Was it a tree again?
Yes.
Martha?
Yes?
Wouldn't you be more comfortable without that fender around your neck?
No.
Gasoline and go.
Okay, Milton.
What's that? Somebody's nailing something on our door.
I'm the sheriff. I'll have this quarantine sign up in a second.
Wait a minute. A quarantine sign?
Yeah. You, lady.
Yes?
Ain't you the one I saw outside?
Yes.
So what?
Look at her face. Measles.
Measles? Uh-huh.
House for 2 weeks.
No, Sam. I won't spend 2 weeks alone in this cabin with just you and Martha.
But, Milty, we won't be alone.
Somebody else, too?
Yes. On the way out to the car, Martha ran into an old friend of hers.
An old friend?
Yes. Come in, kid.
No, this is awful. No.
Friends, remember the words of the eminent nose and throat specialist whose statement you heard a little while ago.
We would be neglecting our patients who smoke if we did not suggest that they smoke Philip Morris.
Yes, there's a difference in Philip Morris that distinguishes it from any other leading brand. And to you, that difference means a cleaner smoke, a fresher, milder smoke than you've ever known before. Remember, of all leading cigarettes, the superiority of Philip Morris and only Philip Morris is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists. No other cigarette can make that statement.
This is Johnny again, returning now to the thousands of store windows and counters all over America. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in.